A congregation down south decided to have a lock-in for its youth. This event was well planned. The weekend came for this activity, and as one of the chaperones arrived at the building, a problem was found. The chaperone realized that someone had failed to pay a utility bill. Because of that failure, the gas service had been terminated. Well, that was a problem because the people intended to do some cooking this weekend. Lots of people were on the way, and without gas, it was going to be a fairly miserable weekend. The guilty party in this story, which is true, was the church treasurer. Well, thankful that problem was fixed, and they did get gas that weekend by the skin of their teeth. As we think about that account, as we think about a local congregation, the work of a treasurer, the work of many people, it's work that's often overlooked. When we think about the treasurer, unless there is a bill which directly affects us, or unless perhaps we are looking for a financial statement and it's not generated, we may hardly ever consider the person who keeps the books and pays the bills. Along with the treasurer, it's easy to overlook some other people who help in a local congregation. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that it's been announced that we intended to have a Congregational Appreciation Day today. It is on this day that the elders of this congregation wish to express their appreciation to each one who has helped in various ways over the last year and really going back several years. In a bit, I'm going to list at least 50 ways in which our members have helped. I will tell you this morning that the elders have reviewed my list, and none of the elders believe that the list that I'm going to go through is exhaustive. So if you're involved with a particular activity and what you do is not specifically listed on the list, it's not a slight. It's not that we were trying to have you overlooked in some way. Neither if there is something that is omitted this morning, it's not a way of saying that your contribution is unimportant. But rather, if I tried to list everything, there wouldn't be time for everything else. So we did want to make some time for the Bible, and we're going to do that by studying the word servant. In the New Testament, there is a word, a very important word, which is translated servant. If you followed along in the scripture reading, Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, this is one of the places where this word is used. Doulos is the word. And this word, which is translated servant in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, describes not only a servant, but it is a word which describes the lowliest form, the lowliest type, the most menial type of servant. It is a word which could be a translated bondservant. When we think about servants of this class, they were servants who were not their own masters. Consider again that last verse that was read, Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. This man said, I tell this servant to do this, and he does it. It's the kind of service where a man is told, jump, and he asks how high. He doesn't say, should I jump? If I jump? But it's the type of activity where when a command is given, the person obeys. In this lesson, I want to look at the word servant, doulos, from the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're here after the lunch service, the second service that we have, we want to take this same word, but then look at it from the perspective of Acts through the book of Revelation. The first passage that I want to read this morning comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, verse 27. We'll cite some verses, we'll read some verses, and this verse is one that I want to read. He says, and here's that word again, and the servants of the householder, plural. The servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then are the tares? As we look at this word, we think of it in terms of the plural. When we think of servants and the church is not a building. The church consists of people who are servants, individuals who are willing to help out in various ways. When we think about the servants in the church, we know that we have different functions. Not everybody is going to be involved with a specific task. But at the end of the day, when you boil it down, each one is a servant. Elders are servants. Those who preach are servants. Our deacons are servants. Our Bible class teachers are servants. The grown men are servants. The grown women are servants. The young people that we have are all servants. Those who seek to be servants serve in multiple ways at this congregation. Sometimes it's not difficult to point out or to see the ways that people serve. When you look at some of the building maintenance that's done inside and out, it's very easy to see the ways in which some serve. When you go down the hall and you see those who are involved in a Bible class or those who have just finished a Bible class, it's very easy to see the kind of service that they deliver. When we think about the parking lot, we come in the winter months and the snow has been plowed. Very easy to see the kind of service that's been rendered on those mornings. There are several visible acts of service. But when we think about service, there are also several acts which are not nearly as visible. Have you gone to the drinking fountain lately out there in the foyer and used it? Some have. And if you've used that drinking fountain, have you appreciated the fact that the water tastes fresh? There's a reason for that. There's a filter in that drinking fountain unit. And if someone did not take that apart and remove the filter and change it out with a clean filter from time to time, you know what the water would taste like? Not good. If you use the bathroom this morning out there in the foyer and there were paper towels, did you stop to consider that those didn't stock themselves automatically? Someone had to put towels in the dispenser. Or maybe it was as you came up the steps this morning and you opened the door and you came inside, a dozen things on your mind. Did you consider that someone came before you and someone opened that door? Or maybe it's when we watch a person baptized and we're so glad that the person was immersed into Christ. Who takes care of the towels after the person was baptized? Who takes care of the clothing that the person wore? If the baptistry is cleaned, who cleaned it? If we have a church directory, you might have used that this past week, you might take that out this week, and you open it up and you think, boy, I sure hope their phone number is in there, I sure hope the cell number is in there, I sure hope there's this information in there as far as an anniversary date or a birthday date. It took someone some time to compile that information and to prepare it. We've got a church library to my right. Ever walked in there? Ever used it? It's there because some people took some time to put it together. The light bulbs that we have this morning, we're using them. I appreciate the lights that are up here. Sometimes they burn out. Someone changes them so they are able to continue to provide light for us. The songbooks that you may have picked up, were they neatly arranged in the rack? Is there no trash in the rack? Those things are true because someone took the time to arrange those songbooks in a nice way. Someone took the time to clean the racks. Pick up a church bulletin this morning? Most probably did. Have you ever noticed that every time you pick up that bulletin, it's folded? We don't have, if you've never been clued in on this, we don't have self-folding paper. Every time you pick up a folded church bulletin, it is because someone, generally the same folks, it is because someone decided to fold that bulletin and make that nice and neat before you picked it up. There's an assignment sheet maybe you profit from. Maybe you get it by email. Maybe you look at it while it's on the board and you think, boy, that is sure helpful to me on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. I know what I'm being asked to do. That doesn't create itself on its own. It is there because someone took the time to create it. It's there because someone took the time to send it out by email. You walk by and you see a nice bulletin board. Maybe one that's been there for a little while, maybe one that's recently been changed. Have you ever stopped and thought that someone needs to take the time to make that new bulletin board to maintain it? Varmint control has been an issue this year. We've had multiple people create sign-up sheets. Some of those sign-up sheets have been created by the people who help lead various activities. That monthly calendar that some of you keep on the refrigerator, or maybe the yearly calendar that you keep on your computer, generated by some people from here, and maintained, sent out, made available by some people from here. Members have recorded sermons for those who have not been able to attend services. We've had, as we look around this morning, some saints, some Christians, who watched children for parents who were unavailable for a short period of time. As we think about those who are here this morning, there have been some men and women who have conducted showers for those who were preparing to get married. Devotionals have been planned and carried out. This year, some additional attention is given to some additional members opening their homes for devotionals. We've had Christians who are here this morning who sat in some of these very pews consoling some who were grieving. If you've been here for a period of time, you know that some of us have sat in these very pews and we've helped people prepare for funerals, arranged services, prepared funeral meals. We've had our members help with Ladies' Days, DBS programs, gospel meetings, campaigns for Christ. We have on a regular basis various members helping out with different aspects of our services. We've had different efforts put forth to help our young people come to a better understanding of the Bible. We've had multiple members from here help with our Lord Let Me Grow free Bible study program. We've had members from here send out cards to various people. Sometimes it's the sick. Sometimes it's someone who's getting better. Or it may be someone has made some phone calls or made some visits. As we look at those who are here, we find that there have been individuals who have picked things up for our potlucks. If you go down to a potluck and you enjoy having a napkin, silverware, plates, other items, those items don't appear magically. Someone has to go out and get them. Do you appreciate the communion supplies? Well, most do. They come from somewhere. We have, as we look at the members who are here, individuals who have collected mail, people who have monitored attendance, individuals who have counted the collection. If you've ever been hurt in some way and you thought, I need a first aid kit. Do we have a first aid kit here? Yes, we do. And that kit is fairly well stocked, once again, because there have been people who have been concerned about it. Our fire extinguishers, God forbid that we should ever need them. But we're not a congregation that buys fire extinguishers and has them checked 25 or 30 years later. They're checked every year. So if we ever need them, they should be fully charged and ready to go. We have individuals who have checked our water supply. You may not think about it, but on a quarterly basis, our water is checked for quality to ensure that no one from here gets sick. We have a well out there that exists because there were members from here who took the time and energy to make that happen. Someone pulls into the parking lot and they think, boy, the grass sure looks nice, cut in a nice way, all trimmed up. That's done because people do it on a consistent basis. You drive in and you see some pretty flowers up against the building. Once again, it's not magic. It's not that the building came with automatic flowers. They don't spring up on their own. We've had over the years, as you think about the curve that we're on, multiple mailboxes taken out. And there have been members who have replaced those mailboxes. As you look around the building, you can see that we've had, especially recently, some bushes pulled out. We've had trees removed, trees trimmed, brush cut, brush burned. We've had members do many things outside this building and inside this building. You pull in, you see the shingles on the building. We've had members from here do some roofing. Less than a year ago, we had multiple members use multiple Saturdays to help improve and preserve the barn that we just used for VBS. If you remember the house that we had next door, that was a pain at times. But we had members come out and help clean that and help keep that serviceable. We have each year, when we get into the fall months, an annual work day to take care of some things that need to be addressed. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, the Hebrew writer has gone through and listed several people of faith. And finally, as he gets down from that list, he says, time's going to fail me if I say any more. I feel a little bit about that, like that, when we deal with the people who have helped. Time's going to fail us. We'll not have time for anything else if we just continue to list the ways in which members of this congregation have helped. Others sometimes, and not here, but others, as we think about congregations throughout this country and in other parts of the world, sometimes have the mindset, let's hire a preacher and we'll dump everything on him. There are other congregations who have the idea of getting an eldership intact. And now that we have elders, let's go ahead and appoint them to do everything. And then sometimes there are places who look at deacons in that way. Let's get some deacons, and everything that comes up, we'll try to shove all that work off on the deacons. A good congregation, and certainly we would see a great congregation, has many members who are willing to serve. Preacher? Sure. Elders? Certainly. Deacons? Absolutely. But everybody else, we're all there together, all working together. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, we again find our word translated servant. Jesus said he did not come to be ministered to. Now the Lord deserved that as far as his identity. But Jesus said, rather than come to be ministered to, I came to minister. I came to give my life for many. That's in another account. In the preceding verse, Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, we are told that important people are willing to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be willing to be, you want to be willing to have a prominent place in the kingdom, you must be willing to serve. Now, one might think that willing servants would be treated well. If someone is out there trying to help and serve and aid others, you would think, let's treat that individual well. Let's ensure that he or she is treated well. But that's not always true. As we study the word servant, and again, I'm staying with the book of Matthew for a little bit, turning over now to Matthew chapter 21, verse 35. I'm going to be reading that verse in a moment as well. We find from that verse that servants, sometimes good servants, are not always treated well. In Matthew 21, 35, we again have a word servant, but this time we have the word servant in conjunction with rotten treatment. This is part of the Lord's teaching, and here's what he has to say. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. As you look at these two servants in Matthew chapter 21, there's no indication that they did anything wrong. These guys show up. They're checking on the homeowner's crop of fruit. And yet, even though they're doing nothing wrong, the Lord says these men were taken, they were beaten, and one of them was killed. Verse 36 says there were other servants who came along. Other servants showed up. And Jesus said these other servants, they were treated in the exact same way. What the Lord says in Matthew 21 has some relevance, some great relevance to our day and time. If we're going to be a servant of Christ, if we've made that decision, if we pursue that decision, we should expect to be criticized. Even if we are not criticized, perhaps not to our face, others will certainly have opinions about us. Perhaps then a person will make a remark about us that's intended to be an opinion or a comment, and we regard that as criticism. But there may be other occasions where a person intentionally criticizes us. Servants in the world and servants in the church can be criticized for nearly anything and everything they do. Show up to put shingles on the roof? Somebody may criticize you. They're not quite straight. Should have used an extra nail. Should have positioned that one a little differently. Take responsibility for organizing or seeing a project through? You may be criticized. Clean the building? Fix something? You can just go down the list and you might find that someone criticizes you. If we are willing to be a servant, one of the things that we must always remember is that we may at times be criticized. I try to remember if someone criticizes me, three things. Three items which may also help you. Number one, listen to what the critic has to say. Be wise enough. Be calm enough. Be smart enough to listen what a critic has to say. Sometimes criticism is valid. Sometimes we can do something better. Sometimes we've made a mistake and we've messed up. So when someone comes along and has some criticism, listen to that individual because he, she, they may be right. Point number two. If the criticism is valid, if it is just in any way, listen to it. Apply it. There are some things that we might need to change. Point number three. If criticism is leveled against us and it is not just, if it is not valid, and that certainly could be true, reject it. And keep on serving. Everybody's going to have an opinion. Each one is going to have a judgment. But not every opinion, not every judgment is going to be correct. Work and work in the most dedicated way that we possibly can, regardless of the critics. Our incentive to do that is found later in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. Jesus says this, using this word servant again. He said, blessed, well off, fortunate, happy is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Christ says, you be my servant, regardless of the criticism, and you keep on that path. And if you will pursue that course, you'll be blessed. You'll be well off. You will be so fortunate. You see, we're working for God, not the critics. And we need to remember that point. Faithful servants will one day hear those great words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, verse 21. As we work for God, there's something else that we want to keep in mind. We might be the best servant that we can possibly be. Maybe if we were to look at the congregation and each one were to be evaluated in terms of service, it might be true that we would be the best servant in that congregation, maybe the best servant in that state, maybe the best servant in that country, maybe the best servant in the world. But you know what Jesus had said in Luke chapter 17, verse 10? He said, even the best servants are unprofitable. That's an important lesson for us. In our adult class this morning, if you were present, we talked about the seven different types of Pharisees. And one of the Pharisees that we discussed was the compounding Pharisee. This type of Pharisee labored under the delusion that the more good I do, the better I am, the greater my works, the more God is in my debt. We discussed how that is not true. God has never been in the debt of any man. God will never be in the debt of any man because that is impossible. The greatest of men, at the end of the day, is still a sinner who is in need of God's grace. We cannot merit salvation. We cannot deserve salvation. We cannot earn salvation. But we can be a faithful servant, an obedient servant of Christ. And we should use every opportunity to be that faithful servant. Each type of person is going to be some type of servant. Now, I know that there are individuals, just like there were in the first century, who come along and they say, I am my own man. I am my own woman. I am my own person. I serve no one. But Jesus didn't agree with that. He said in John chapter 8, verse 34, those who commit sin, they are the bondservant of sin. We are servants of God, or we are servants of the devil if we are accountable for actions. If we choose to be a servant of God, the verse that we want to read now is going to come from the book of John chapter 15, verse 15. If we want to be a servant of God, we have a very great blessing. Jesus, in the context of discussing some things with the apostles before the cross, says this in the 15th verse of John 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But he says, I've called you friends, for all the things that I heard from the Father I have made known to you. When we are a true servant of God, the New Testament era allows us to be a friend of God. In preparing for this lesson, I went back and looked at some information about a story involving the life of President L.B. Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson one day called the home where a man who was a famed diplomat, economist, and public official resided. Johnson wanted to talk to this man. The public official had a housekeeper. The housekeeper answered the phone. And on this particular day, the housekeeper had been told by this diplomat, I don't want to hear from anybody. I'm tired. I need some rest. I don't want to take any calls. I guess this was a day before presidents had secretaries that may have done all that they do today. But Johnson personally made that call. And as the president is on the phone with the housekeeper, the president asks specifically for this diplomat, and the president really wanted to talk to this diplomat that day. And the housekeeper said, my employer, this diplomat is sleeping, and I've been given strict orders not to disturb him. Well, Johnson said, I'm the president of the United States. Wake him up. I want to speak with the man. And the housekeeper said this to Johnson, I work for him and not you. Now, can you imagine that? A housekeeper saying to the president of the United States, I work for him and not you. I'm not going to wake him up. She was that kind of servant. When the diplomat woke up, housekeeper relayed the message, and the man called Johnson back. And President Johnson expressed his pleasure at the housekeeper's response. In fact, he said, I'd like that woman to work at the White House. True story. Faithful servants are precious, precious people. Few people may know about how you serve. Most people may never know about the kind, the type of service that you offer. But God does. And it's no wonder that in John chapter 15, Jesus said to his faithful servants, you are my friends. Maybe a congregational appreciation meal is long overdue. If that's true, we want to fix that issue today. And we hope that each one who is here will join us. Maybe you're not a member of the congregation. We'd still like you to come. There will be plenty of food available. But also, before we dismiss, we want to make sure that we offer an invitation. If you are someone who is a Christian, but you don't feel like you've been involved enough in the service of Christ, today may be the day we look to God and say, I want to rededicate my life. I want to make sure that I'm using my life, my time on this earth, to serve God to the best of my ability. I know I can't earn salvation. I know I can't merit salvation. I know I don't deserve salvation. But I do know that I can be a more effective servant for Christ. If that's where you are spiritually, the door is wide open. If you're someone who wants to be a servant of God, you've been thinking about it, and you're this close, today you can take those final steps. You believe, and you want to repent. You want to live in the right way. You can confess Christ as Lord. You can take that final step of baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 verse 38. And the Bible says in Romans 6, 1 through 4, you will begin to walk in the newness of life. Part of that new life is a life of service. Men may criticize you. Men may not always recognize what you're trying to do. But God will know. And that's what counts. Are we a faithful servant of Christ? The answer to that question, if we're accountable for our sins, is either yes or no. There is no third choice. If the answer is no, give serious thought to changing that. So when you stand before God, you can hear those words that we spoke about earlier from Matthew chapter 25. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those are words we do not want to miss hearing on the final day. This morning, can we help you write your relationship with God or strengthen you in that way? If so, let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song.